Well, good morning. I met Jeff Feldman yesterday at the wedding and said I was speaking, and he said, oh, I can't be there, I gotta be with the kids. And he says, well, let's see if you can get through without crying. Well, I had a hard time getting through worship without crying. I'll try to get through speaking without crying. Interesting morning, because what the Lord has put on my heart to speak, I've written a ton of notes in here and struggled with order and how to put it all together, but knowing that there's something that's supposed to be saying, and you saying about being unstructured, and I just see the Holy Spirit weaving stuff together from the songs that you folks picked this morning to a prayer earlier, and your prayer as well, George, and God using very different people, different styles of people. George and I are very different from each other, but we have the same God living inside of us, right? And, but he goes about things different than I go about things. He goes about praying to God differently than I go about praying to God. But we have the same God. And the kingdom of God is here, and God wants to do many things this morning. Just a couple things here in terms of, we go back on September 8th, Cindy and I back to Brazil. I guess I should say a couple things about Brazil before I speak. But I guess what I would say is this. When we went back 2 years ago, we'd come off of a two-year trip, came off of a two-year time there where Jen and Phil are right now, and it was a very difficult time. It was good. God did lots of things, but it was very difficult for us. Learn language, culture, fitting in. And then we were invited to go to another city to start a ministry, basically a healing ministry, an inner healing ministry, helping people who have drug addictions and alcohol addictions and sexual addictions. And these are people who are leaders in the church. We've started 28 churches and have 24 churches on the go. And yet people have been growing, and then some leaders have sort of fallen back into some old ruts, right? And it's tough if you don't have a structure to how to help those people out of that. And it's tough if you've said, I'm healed and everything's cool, and all of a sudden you fall back into old ways, and you're a little shameful to actually tell somebody that, hey, I kind of fell again, you know? And so we've been there, and God's just done some wonderful things in people's lives. And we're excited to go back. One of the highlights is we're going back. I don't know if I've shared this here, but one of the highlights is I sat down with a couple pastors and was explaining what we were doing, and some of the people from their church were taking these courses that we were running. And the fellow looked at me and he said, one of the questions I have for you is, why have you done this with people in our church and you haven't done them with us? He said, I'm a pastor and I need this. And who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to talk to with my stuff? And so there's some other pastors that are saying, please, could you do this with us? And so there seems to be doors opening for us. There seems to be a receptivity to that. And so what we need prayer-wise right now when we're going back is wisdom to know what to put our hands to, because it seems like there's lots of possibilities. Whereas 2 years ago it was just a couple things, now it's lots of possibilities for us. And so if you could pray for us in that regard as well. I think I'll stop there. If you have your Bibles, I don't have anything going up on the screen today, except later on I'm going to have part of a song that went up, but not at this point. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Normally I put things up on screens, easy to follow, but I'll try to read slowly. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. We're talking about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus had just gone through his time of temptation in the wilderness, and he comes out of that and he begins preaching. And his message that he gave at that time was this. It says there, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, every time I hear that, and in the Vineyard we speak lots about the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is advancing, it's near, it's at hand. Every time I hear this part, repent, I have this picture of this crazy old guy, you know, long pointy finger, you know, sort of lost it up here, and he's pointing, he's going, repent, right? And he's calling to people and saying, "You dirty, rotten scoundrel, clean up your act." And so it's hard for me to get my head around it, you know, because you also have John the Baptist going through telling people to repent, prepare for the way of the Lord. And we have this picture of him maybe doing that. I don't necessarily think that's accurate, but that's what plays up in my mind. But what was Jesus saying when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here"? What he was saying was this: you're looking at things in the wrong perspective. You need to change your perspective. You've been living, before you met Jesus, you were living on this side of the cross, and you had a perspective of things. But now, I'm here, Jesus Christ, I'm here. The kingdom of God is here, and I'm bringing a whole new perspective, a whole new way of living. These songs that we were singing this morning about God making us brave and taking fear away, that's people over here living in this perspective, in the kingdom of God, as his son and his daughter, living here. When we start walking in fear, and we all have stressors in our life, right? Whether there's something that's going on with our kids, whether it's finances, whether it's physical, with relationship with other people. And these stressors move us to live on this side, in this perspective, where we don't actually see clearly, where the financial stress is so high and we don't know how we're going to make it, where something's falling apart relationally and you go, "Oh my God, what is going on?" And we come under these fears, and we come under these pressures and these stressors, and we're living here. And Jesus says, repent. Not repent, but repent. The kingdom of God is here. I have come to intersect your life, to bring you to walk with me in the kingdom of darkness, to experience life, to experience courage, the strength to go on. And when we're weak, to experience his life, his sustaining energy in our life, to carry on. If you look at the Gospels, it's very interesting. And a friend said this to me a couple weeks ago when I was taking a course, and it just stuck in my mind. And I've gone to read through the Gospels to find out if it's true. So mark this. Starting here in Matthew and through the Gospels, what Jesus does is Jesus teaches what it's like to live in the kingdom and say, "You used to be over here, but that's not the way it functions now. It functions this way. I want you to see from my perspective." You look at Matthew chapter 5 to 7, there is a lot of teaching in there where he's saying, "This is the way it functions, guys." Let's just jump there for a second. Matthew 5. Okay? There's lots of things in the Beatitudes that talk about being humble, poor in spirit, being merciful, being peacemakers, and it talks about how God works with people in that. You go down to verse 21, and it talks about murder. Well, that's interesting. Murder. I haven't really murdered anyone lately. You've heard it said for long, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who's angry at his brother will be subject to judgment." So all of a sudden, we're living over here and go, murder's wrong. But hate and anger, we're not talking about righteous anger here, okay? Talking about hate, no, just murder's bad. When Jesus goes, no, it's actually inner life. If there's stuff going on inside you, inner-wise, that's out of sync with my kingdom, that's going to rob you and it's going to rob other people. I want you to live a different way. Ooh, talks about adultery. Ooh. Well, for the most part, most of us would say that adultery is wrong, right? I won't have a raise of hands just in case there's a few that think that adultery is not bad, okay? But adultery, I wouldn't say, I was going to joke and say it's not a good thing. Adultery is sin. We don't like that word anymore, right? We don't hear it a lot in church, sin, because we kind of get weirded out. And if we're talking with friends and we bring up the word, "Well, that's sin," they go, "What are you talking about?" You know, we have so much tolerance these days. But Jesus says, what's he say? He says in verse 27, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in their hearts. Now, we could say men. I mean, men looking at women, but also women looking at men. Right? So Jesus puts a different perspective here. He's saying, in this kingdom that I've come to intersect your life with, I'm come to bring my rule and reign with you, things function differently, and it's internal. The changes are internal. And so if you look through Matthew 5 to 7, you'll see all the stuff. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. He says, well, I tell you, you know, if someone takes your tunic or your coat, you know, give them something else. Someone robs you, say, what else do you want? You know, someone asks you to go a mile, go two. A different perspective. So Jesus has said, I have come to bring my kingdom to intersect with your life, and I'm going to teach you how to live in this realm. Now, in the vineyard, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we talk a lot about healing and prophetic words and walking in the Spirit and that kind of stuff. And that's fantastic, and we need to experience that as well. But it's the inner life that God is wanting to bring and intersect with us on. I was reading a book by Dallas Willard last week. I started to read again. It's a book called Divine Conspiracy. And I was blown away. I went, man, I read this a few years ago. It's not impacting me the way it's impacting me now. Like this guy, I mean, he passed away a few years ago, but the guy is brilliant. But he wrote in there he quoted the president of Harvard. And he wrote this book like 15 years ago or 16 years ago, so this would have been within 15 to 25 years ago. The president of Harvard said, the church does not seem to have the ability to morally affect society anymore. Because inside the church, people's lives seem to be the same as people outside the church. So there doesn't seem to be a difference. So maybe the universities need to look at how we can affect moral change. And then he went on to say, well, no professor has the desire to do that because they want to do everything intellectual. But the part that stood out to me was his perspective is that we've lost the ability to affect moral change in society. Well, that only happens because many of us have fallen into the form of living outwardly and not allowing the kingdom to enter inside of us and deal with us on the inside into our inner life. And as God changes this part of our life, outwardly it changes as well. Does that make sense? Okay, you track it. Goes on, love your enemies. You know, if we go to Matthew chapter 8, there's a story here that's very interesting. Verse 23. When he got into the boat with his disciples followed, without warning, a furious storm came up in the lake. So the waves were sweeping over the boat. And Jesus was sleeping. The disciples woke him up and said, save us, we're going to drown. And what does Jesus do? Jesus was sleeping. Like, I don't know if you've been in a boat where waves have been crashing over the side. It's not a lot of fun. It actually is very scary. But Jesus is sleeping. Okay? And so what does he say? He says, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And then he got up and he rebuked the waves. Now, I always remember this story of him going, you of little faith, and rebuking them. And then he rebuked the waves. Well, that's not what it says. He said, guys, you don't get it yet, do you? You still got little faith. You're still living over here. Here, come over here. It's actually not that bad. If you see it from my perspective, everyone's safe. And he just rebukes the wave. I encourage you to go through the Gospels and look at it with that perspective. God wanting to change our perspective to his kingdom perspective, to see life that way. Because only then can we experience His life deep within us to change all the other things that are going on. If we look over in Matthew chapter 14, there's the feeding of the 5,000, right? There's the feeding of the 5,000. What happens there? Well, feed these people. Well, we only have this. Okay. So he sees it from his perspective. He goes, well, that's all I need is this, right? I can do this. Do you guys believe that God actually multiplies food these days? We've seen it in our house. We've seen it as you're serving soup to people. I know downstairs with Gene in the ministry downstairs, many times they're preparing food and they look out and they go, oh my gosh, we do not have enough food for everybody. But when it's all over, everyone got fed. How? Because the people just kept serving downstairs and saying, well, we're going to have to trust. We're going to live in this reality instead of this reality. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, who's got money? Well, we got to go buy some food. We got to somehow make it happen. Right? God wants us to live in this because the kingdom of God is here. God is here to intersect every area of our life. Okay? Every area of our life. I want you to think for a moment with me of what stresses you out. Think about your life, not the person beside you, but what causes stress? What causes you to move out of a place of peace where the Bible says, I'll give you the peace which passes all understanding, will guard your mind and your heart in Christ Jesus, right? What takes you away from here and moves you on the other side where you're so far you can't see things in reality in God's perspective? What takes you out? Is it finances? Is it finances? Is it problems with difficulties in relationships with family, with kids? Is it work? Physical difficulty? What is it that pulls you out? So practically, has everyone got one? At least one? Yeah? We all got one? Yes? Is that a, just nod your head. And I know you're not asleep with your eyes open. Good. Okay. If we will do one of two things. I'll just give you a visual here. Move out of here and go, God, I want your perspective on this situation. I don't have enough money to meet my needs. We have an issue with my son or my daughter. I have an issue with the neighbor. I have an issue at work. Okay? Come over here and say, would you give me your perspective? Please intersect my life in this area. If we will do that and wait, God will bring us his perspective, and life will look completely different after that. I remember a situation 5 years ago where we had to postpone going to Brazil. There were some difficulties going on within our family. And if ever you have difficulties with your family, as parents, you don't sleep very well. Your emotional energy is sucked out so quickly. And you go to bed and you say, I'm going to go to bed at 9 o'clock. And you might sleep 9 hours, but you wake up and you're exhausted because you've been wrestling all night long. And I remember many times going to bed at night going, God, what are we going to do? What's happening? We need you to intersect. And God would speak a word to us which would settle our heart. And yet visually in front of us, nothing seemed to have changed. And then we had a choice to make. Are we going to live in what we see, or are we going to live in what God spoke to us and in this perspective and live and walk in the peace of God in this reality? Are you tracking with me? I was talking with a friend yesterday I hadn't seen in a while at the wedding, And what was interesting, went to Bible college with these folks, and just it was just, and we were talking, and we're sharing stories of God's interaction in our lives. And I looked at them, and I said, it's amazing speaking to you right now, because when we were 22 and in Bible college, we might have said the same words, but we did not have the same authority. And the reason we didn't have the same authority, we hadn't lived it. But I remember, I told this fellow, he said, I am swimming now at the YMCA. I remember when you lost your job and you were lifeguarding at YMCA to make money for you and your wife and your four kids. You don't make a lot of money lifeguarding. But he's doing whatever he could. And I remember those times. And I said, you remember those times when you just were hanging on to God and God brought a peace that passed all understanding is what the Bible says. And you look out and you go, it doesn't make sense that I could have this peace in the midst of all that's going on in my life. And they're like, oh yeah. And I said, you know, and I'm sharing stuff, and we're it's like we've walked through the same thing. There's a depth that's there. I remember sitting with my wife on our couch, and we're looking at our finances, and something had taken place, and we're going, oh my gosh. And so we go to the worst case scenario, right? You lose this, you lose the house. We were at that place. And you say, God, what's your perspective? You know one of the one things the Lord told me at that time? He showed me what I had in Him. And He showed me what I had with my family. And I was literally able to say, if I lose it all, and I got you, and I got my family, I got everything I need. Now, God, we invited Him into the situation, and He changed the situation. But I didn't know that was going to happen. I resigned from the church 11 years ago. I was on a 3-month leave because I had burnt out, and the church was supporting me. When I came back, we felt we were supposed to resign. And 2 weeks later, I had no more money coming to me. In the next 9 months, I made the same amount of money as I'd made in 3 months, over those next 9 months. And a friend of mine called me up on New Year's Day saying, Happy New Year, God bless you for this year. I had no idea what was going on. And I said, can I confess something to you? Can I share something with you? And he said, certainly. I said, we have no money. We've got nothing. I've borrowed against my house, but I feel like the Lord has said no. So we got nothing. I'm selling stuff, but no one's buying. What he said to me? Let's pray and invite the God, this kingdom, to intersect your life and your family life and to turn this around. 10 days later, I was sitting in front of 40 realtors selling a marketing strategy thing, and half of them got up out of their seats and walked to the front and signed. And after that, it just started. And then 9 months later, after we built up a business, they asked me to take over something, and I'd have to travel to Mississauga, or Mississauga more like Mavis Road, every day, and come home, so I'd be leaving at 7 in the morning, I'd be home by 7:30 at night every day. And I said, I can't just work out of my house. No, we want you to come, we want you to run this part of the office, blah, blah, blah. My wife and I prayed about it, and we said, we just resigned from the church a year ago. We're spending more time with our kids. My kids are in high school. I want to see them play sports. So we said no. I got my last paycheck a week later, and I was back to nothing again. But it was all good because God was leading and we're living in this perspective and we're inviting God to come and meet us here. Too many of us are living over here, folks. What I loved about the songs this morning about being brave, about being children of God. It was acknowledging the reality that we are sons and daughters of God. And because that is true, we have whatever we need if we want to accept it. But if we want to say, yeah, I'm a child of God, but we want to live over here and live in fear and stuff, the Lord lets us do that. And if you look at it, it's stupid. And I could go on and say, for the sake of the world, for the sake of the gospel, please let's live over here. But for the sake of us, for you, for your spouse, for your children, live over here. Receive by faith the reality and the truth that is ours. And when he speaks something in your heart, hang on to it. And even if what's in front of you, it does not look like the reality that God spoke to you, you hang on to it. And his strength and his encouragement. And when I was in the Alliance Church, we talked about the sustaining grace of God. Just sustaining you to keep you going. To walk in this by faith and to see it actually unfold. Make sense? Okay. I was praying this week and the Lord gave me a word for a few people in the church. And I said, Lord. I said, okay, if they show up, I'll give them. So I want to ask permission, first of all, but Bill Kenny, would you be willing for me to give you a word? Okay. Would you stand, please? My brother here, my Brazilian brother, I've forgotten your name, I'm so sorry. But would you stand, please? I'm not sure I can give the word in Portuguese to you fully, but when I was praying and when I was thinking about you, what came to mind was first of all, your knee and the fact that you're going for a reconstructive surgery on your knee. At least I think that's what it is. And the Lord reminded me of the new covenant that he's made with us, that he will remove the old heart and give us the heart of stone and give us a new heart, right? And it's that new life. And the truth is, Bill, is every time I see you, I see the new life of Christ flowing through you, right? And I think the people around you see that as well. And I just want to encourage you to continue to live in this reality because you are making an impact wherever you go. And then because of this reconstruction, you walk with a limp, right? And there is a story of Jacob wrestling with God. And when he's finished, God does something with his socket. And I don't know exactly what it is, but he walked with a limp. And you also walk with a limp, and people know it. You have a confidence about you, and you embrace so many people, but you're safe. Because you've walked through a lot of things that people don't know about. I don't know about. You've walked through stuff. And you have a limp. You have a limp. But it's good because it keeps you in that place of humility. And you're a safe man to be around. So I just want to bless you in that. And I've forgotten your name again. I'm sorry. What's your first name again? Huh? Yvonne. Eu recebi uma palavra, Deus está com você. I had this word that said that God is with you. And it was a presença de Deus está com você. The presence of God is with you. And I feel the Lord wants to encourage you today to walk in the confidence that God is with you, that he has not left you. You have unanswered questions right now that you're working through in life and being here and how it's all going to work out. But God is with you. And similar to Bill, there is a safety about you. And I remember hearing you when you're up in the church over there and talking about your desire to gather people and stuff. You are a very safe man to be around. And there is a light that comes out from you. And it's because of the presence of God is with you. And I want to encourage you with that. Thank you. The truth is The Spirit of God lives in all of us. The presence of God is with all of us. And when we're walking in our life and we're walking over here, right, that presence is seen. The peace that passes all understanding. It doesn't make sense to the world. The other visual I had was this. I don't know if I'm nearsighted, far, so I don't know what all that means, but what I do know is I can see at the back right now, but I can't see squat here. It's nearsighted? Okay. I was with Dale Ma yesterday, and he was doing this, and I remember him 2 years ago. He said, "Buddy, your arms aren't long enough," and I said that to him yesterday. "Get yourself some glasses, pal. Your arms aren't long enough." but who has glasses? Take your glasses off for a moment if you have them. Oh, yeah, they're reading glasses, right? Okay, so visualize this with me. You're wanting to read for me. I want to read something, and I can't. Guess what? I'm over here. Things are foggy. I need to put on my glasses, and now I can see clearly. God wants us to live with His perspective. Okay. I think that's all for now. So in terms of praying and committing this stuff to the Lord, thanks, brother. Let's close our eyes. And I would like us to ask the Lord for one thing that's going on in our life right now. Lord, I ask that you would bring to each one of us one thing, one difficulty that's stressing us out right now, and where we possibly are living with the wrong perspective. And God wants to bring us to His kingdom perspective. So just think about that for a moment. Every one of us, if you want to engage with the Lord right now, God is going to do something. I just encourage you to think about one thing. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's fear of finances. Maybe it's a change that's coming up. Maybe it's a relationship. Whatever that is. And if you will, you can do a number of things. You can pretend that this difficulty is in your hands and you want to offer it to God to receive His perspective. You could visualize being up here with me, standing on one side of the cross, and you're going to say, "I choose to go to the other side to live under your kingdom right now." Or you could visualize having your glasses off, difficulty seeing, and you say, "Well, Lord, right now I choose to put on kingdom glasses and to see this difficulty through your lenses." So I just encourage you to do that right now. Father, your kingdom is so powerful, and it's here for us to experience your life in us. Powerful. We want to experience your life in this area of our life right now. Bring us your perspective. Bring us your perspective. And as you stay in that place, but I want to say something else as we're doing this, but keep your eyes closed. Just stay in that place, just offering this to the Lord. There was a song that we sang earlier today, and it was about declaring, "I believe in God the Father, I believe in the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit." And it made a comment that I believe in the resurrection, in the life to come. And what I want to say about that is I believe in the resurrection and the life that is here right now. I believe in the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ in my life right now. Life differently. I believe in the resurrection and the power of God in my life, living under the kingdom of God, experiencing His love, experiencing His forgiveness, experience courage in my life when I feel fear. The power of the cross and the power of the resurrection is not just that one day I will be resurrected and see him face to face. That's futuristic. That's looking beyond now. His resurrection life is for us right now. And so I choose, Father, to receive that right now. So hand that over to God right now, whatever that is. Lord, this situation is yours. This difficulty is yours. I want your kingdom to intersect my life. I want to experience everything that you have for me now. Give me your perspective. And if you've done that, I want to encourage you to stand right now with your eyes closed. And as the music is playing, the worship playing, just let God's Spirit minister to you. Let God's Holy Spirit minister to you. Whatever's bringing fear and stress, whatever it is, pass it over. I want your perspective, God. Come, Holy Spirit.
One of the thoughts that's just been stirring in my heart is that for some of us, when we speak of being a child, and we've had so many experiences where God, we didn't experience God with us. We've had so many experiences of actually feeling abandoned and left to our own experiences in life, that on this other side of the cross, is this the sweet spot here, hon? Living on the other side of the cross in the kingdom and the provision and the fullness of God's provision is really tough. You know, we can understand it, that as a concept, but our own experience of life here on the earth is that, well, actually, no, I think I'm pretty much on my own to resolve my own problems. Life has proven that to me time and time again, that I'm on my own here. And yeah, God's all that, but when it comes right down to it, I've got to resolve life with my own resources. And I think one of the things that helps us get to the other side to live more fully in the kingdom of God is really ongoingly, as we have lots of experiences on this earth of actually feeling abandoned and left to our own, God really wants us to learn how to surrender those to him, to forgive that have left us on our own. And that actually makes a way for faith to actually start to penetrate our hearts with the sense that I think God's actually really with me. I think actually God's kingdom is maybe going to do something here, because we're walking through that journey of letting go and forgiving those that have left us on our own, so that the kingdom of God becomes more of an ongoing experience and not just words that are spoken over us. So I just really sense for some of us, there's just maybe what's more prominent this morning is just a sense of maybe disappointment and fear because of experiences on the earth and maybe even other Christians that have let us down. And Jesus is saying, you know what, why don't we start there and let go and surrender some of those things and see if he can't bring us a sense of comfort and assurance. I really am with you. I really will not abandon you. And all of the resources of heaven and earth, I actually are mine and will be brought to bear in your situation, whether that's just raw comfort that you need right now, whether that's hope that you can make your next rent payment, whatever that is.
So just give those things to the Lord right now. And what you're doing is you're going to do an exchange. You're going to say, Lord, I'm giving you this now to you. And I want to exchange that for your perspective and your life and your truth. Let him bring it to you. God's working all over the place here. Just a real sweetness of God resting on many people here. Just continue to engage in the Lord. I know for myself, there's many times during the week I don't create a time like this. And so when we got a few minutes right now, we want to accept that more, Lord. Thanks for your presence, Father. Thanks for your truth. Just break these lies in Jesus' name. I say, be filled with God's truth. Receive it. Receive the truth. Just in your heart, say, yeah, Lord, okay, it's hard for me to believe that, but I receive that. And as God is coming to you and as he's bringing perspective, or even if he's just bringing a sense of peace, even if there's just a sense of peace that's resting on you, engage with him. Say, Father, thank you for that peace. Receiving the peace of God changes everything. Because we're able then to receive his perspective, and we're able then to walk with his perspective. I just want to encourage those who are seated. If you're interested in being used of the Lord today, I want to encourage you to look around and see someone who's standing. And if someone just sort of stands out to you in your mind as you're looking, just go to them and stand beside them and just start praying quietly for them. I'm serious. And if you have a thing this morning where you're going, I want some specific prayer, you're welcome to come. We'll gather with you. We want to pray for healing this morning as well. If you've come this morning and the part of you goes, oh man, it'd just be great if I could get this touched and this healed, I'd love for you to come forward. We'll pray for you this morning. God's kingdom is breaking in because he's touching us. He's here. He's ministering to us. So his kingdom is here. And within that kingdom is also power to heal. And we know we wrestle between the times and not everyone gets healed every time we pray, but we know that the Bible talks and shows that it's his will. Jesus healed everyone that came to him. And so we want to pray. So we're just going to release this right now for people to walk around and pray for others. If you want specific prayer, you can come forward. I know there's some people on the prayer team. If you see people up at the front, come forward and pray. If you want to stay worshiping, Andy and Margaret Ellen will continue to lead worship, and we'll just continue to worship. If there's a sense of, well, these guys talked really long today, I'm ready to have lunch. Well, it's 10 to 12, and you're welcome to walk quietly out in the courtyard, and we bless you, okay? So, Father, thank you for what you've done this morning through worship and speaking to us individually through this message. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done, are doing, and going to do. And we just say, we want to work with you. We want to walk with you. In Jesus' name. So I bless you today. I bless you this week. Walk with a new perspective, folks, in the reality of the kingdom of God, Jesus intersecting our lives moment by moment. In Jesus' name, amen.